Week's episode of the Mega 64 podcast is sponsored by TheYeti.com. Head over to TheYeti.com/Mega64 for 10% off all of your purchases. Or, you know what? Go to YetiRecords.com.
Dude.
Where this month, what were you going to say something?
No, I'm saying I just recently learned there's a record label, and that's sick.
Oh, yeah.
That is tight.
No, so sick.
Yeah.
Go to YetiRecords.com where this month they are releasing the OST1.RAR original soundtrack.
Whoa.
And nice. The Owlboy soundtrack this August. The OST1.RAR is a JRPG inspired experimental vaporwave album with cover design by the world famous Jason Cryer.
Oh!
That's right, baby. An internet soldier worked on this album. Shouts out to Jason Cryer.
He
did the album art. It's vaporwave. It's trippy. You put this on when you're vaping your CBD and you're getting relaxed and you want to listen to cool music. Boom, 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 boom.
You don't have to skip tracks. Records just play on. You only have to skip sides.
Listen.
It's easy.
You want this album regardless. But go to the Yeti, go to YetiRecords.com and use the promo code Mega64 for 10% off your purchase.
Hey, there's an X on the cover, and that's 10 in Roman numerals.
Use that extra 10% to go buy an extra vape jewel cartridge for your vaporwave session.
Yeah.
Finally.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Analog sounds from the Yeti.
But not only that. We're so professional. We've hit big time here at Mega 64.
Yeah, we did it. Guys, we did it.
We have another sponsor this week.
We did it.
Ting.com. That's right. Ting.com, the alternative cell phone service. Pay for the data that you use.
Oh, yeah.
Don't pay for the data that you don't use. Hold on. I'm going to do this like Howard Stern does this.
Okay.
Hey, Ross voice.
Ting is the smarter choice for affordable cell phone service. You pay a fair price for the talk, text, and data that you actually use each month. If you use less, you pay less. It's that simple. Ting offers nationwide LTE coverage on two networks, so the phone you already own will likely work.
Dude, Howard Stern impression nailed it.
That was
you
good.
Nailed it.
Welcome to the show,
welcome to
everybody.
The show. Thank you to our sponsors.
Yeah, thanks to our sponsors. They make the world go round. They they line the pockets of the main guy. He's actually out cashing the sponsorship checks. Right. He's using his Ting SIM card. He's testing it out. He's making sure they got coverage at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to say he's at Disneyland.
He's not.
I know he gets upset when we say he's at Disneyland.
But it's a good guess. If you had to guess somewhere where he would be.
Rockwell and I recently, we went up to LA on Friday and we drove past Disneyland. And
that
I
must hurt for
I was making the joke like, hey, I'll sit in the parking lot if you want to go real quick. God. I get it.
He doesn't go to Disneyland every day.
No, he's not there today.
He doesn't go every other day. It's every 3 days.
Yeah, get it right. And when you're not here, it's fair game and you open yourself up to all kinds of abuse and attacks.
I actually, Sean, you seem to know where he is, but I don't.
He is at a Weird Al concert.
Oh,
the Weird Al
legit.
Strings Attached
legit.
Concert is what it's called.
Him and Kevin are big fans of music.
And so,
big music fans.
When I think
here.
Of concerts and I think of Weird Al, the review word, the single word that comes to my mind is legit.
Well, I don't.
When you're not
they
here,
saw
you get
Weird Al
stabbed.
Earlier. Maybe they saw him last year, but it was a Weird Al. It was nothing but like him on stage, like no costumes, all original songs, and it was like he just sat down and just performed. This is the opposite, where
that
it
sounds miserable.
It's called the Strings Attached. He's like a symphony behind him.
Dude, it's like Metallica did that.
Yes,
one
S&M.
It's
Al and M.
Oh wow,
yeah.
It's like Weird Al meets Metallica meets S&M. Rocco goes to a lot of concerts
these
days. I'm getting like. I'm happy for my boy. He's getting cultured. He's getting hip.
You know,
remember when it was like just the Matrix soundtrack?
Yeah.
That's all it was ever
legit.
On.
Legit. It was real big fish or the Matrix.
It was
still there, yeah.
You're right, Meg. Red Dead 2 soundtrack or whatever, but now he's going legit
artist.
Dude,
the boy's been out. He knows more new music than I've ever even like scratched the surface
he's
on.
He's hip with what the kids are into these days,
you
know. Find any middle schooler in the world. Anywhere, I won't know what to talk to them about. We got nothing in common. I'm
Instagram.
Not him. I'm the old guy.
Yeah,
He's out there Fortnite dancing.
Yeah, so this is Rocco's third concert this week.
Wow.
What the fuck? How do you know this?
Because I know my boy. Wow. I was at two of them.
Oh, okay. So you've been going to a lot of shows lately.
The Melvins, which I didn't know they were playing. So the Melvins and the Raconteurs, that was last week. Those of you who watched last week know. And then on Friday, he didn't get a ticket for this, but I was given tickets for my birthday, and no one else wanted to go, so Rocco went with me like a real friend to see The Bird and the Bee, special guest Dave Grohl drumming.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Such a great show.
Did they play Diamond Dave?
They did play Diamond Dave.
He posted about that on social media.
Yeah, actually. He did.
There was an actress from some movie he saw there?
Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, okay.
He asked, is it weird to take a picture? And I said yes. It was weird. I've never been in a place. That theater is very small.
The Ford Theater,
which by the Hollywood Bowl, I guess. There are so many famous people there, which is, you know, I guess you're the Hollywood. That's what you expect.
That's what's in Hollywood.
But you're walking, like, I saw Charlie Day just walking past me. Like, we stood in line together to get, like, concessions.
Two famous guys. Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, I know, right? Patton Oswalt was there. Like, everyone was fucking there. It was crazy.
Do you think Patton Oswalt and Charlie Day are sitting around on their podcast being like, I saw Sean from Mega 64.
Yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
Everybody, hopefully.
Even the biggest celebrities in San Diego came out to this show.
You know what, though?
It was fucking crazy.
I will be real. I cannot 100% guarantee it was Charlie Day. I'm like 99.9%.
Okay. Okay. Right, that could have been literally any LA schlub.
No,
any
I think it was him.
With a beard.
I don't think so. But yeah, so the Bird and the Bee were awesome. Dave, I don't know why Dave Grohl drummed for them. I have no idea. But it was such a small venue. They just let him like go off for a while. And it's like, we were like 10 rows away. It was fucking sick. It was so cool. I had such a great time. So
I don't think I've ever had a chance to see Dave Grohl.
On drums?
Live, no. Because really? I missed out on my favorite band has always been Nirvana.
Nirvana. Oh.
Missed out on that. Too young. Parents wouldn't let me go to San Diego Sports Arena in 95.
And then Kurt, self-death.
So he committed self-death.
Yeah.
You know, took himself out the game.
So, yeah. And I've never been into Foo Fighters, so I've never seen Grohl. But that is a dream of mine to see Grohl on drums in one way or another.
I saw him
Queens
play
of the Stone Age would have been
them
great.
Them Crooked Vultures.
Oh, okay.
He must have been having an off night. It wasn't anything special. Yeah. Whoever was on bass sucked. I don't know if he was a new guy or if he was an amateur guy. He just didn't seem like he was in his element.
Yeah.
Meg, you go to a lot of concerts this week?
Every day.
Yeah. Me and Meg were talking about the scene here in San Diego a couple years ago when we actually...
What? You were?
Yeah, we used to go.
Because... It's so weird because all of us would hang out in the same place even though we didn't know each other.
Yeah, we'd always be at
Soma. And finding
out
like what shows we'd all be at.
Chain Reaction.
Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
We were there.
Garrett. Yeah.
But you know, I think we had like overlapping, like the hardcore shows would be like matinee weekends and then she'd be there like on a Friday night.
Yeah.
But I think the last concert I went to, Brian, you and I went to Slayer.
Oh,
that was at San Diego Sports Arena. I think that ruined me on concerts for a
really?
While.
Why, like,
dude? It was a fucking Slayer concert, and it was just so. Mauricio wanted to be up front, which I give him credit for. I was like, it was supposed to be one of the last Slayer tours.
Yeah,
you know they always come back, but man, we went up front, and when that shit started, bye Brian, bye Mauricio. It was like. Just a sea of a pit and like a lot of skinhead looking dudes in the pit. It's just like, my hair's getting pulled in one direction. Oh, I'm getting pulled in the other. I was so discombobulated. And then, you know, I'm missing my friends. We had made it to the floor, but I evacuated and then got up to a comfortable position. We reconvened and made it work.
Yeah.
But cool. You remember, Brian, that was a crazy show.
I got moved like 60 feet in less than a second. I was just pushed by a wall of people all the way to the front.
How many MPH is that?
That's my nightmare. You give up and you just let your body go.
Yeah, you just have to accept it and it sucks.
But it sucks.
So at that Raconteurs concert, they did have the thing where you got rid of your cell phone again.
Oh, yeah.
Which we said last time it was great. This time I didn't like it as much because we got there so early. And I get into the venue and I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't have my fucking phone. And so, like, my brother and sister are also there and I keep trying to meet up with them, but I can't. Like, there's no way for me to get in contact with them. So I went into the fucking, like, child, I have to say child, but like the cell phone zone.
Oh no, the shame pit.
The shame cell pit. Zone. The, yeah,
that's
the
like,
loser pit.
The digital slave zone.
Yeah, that was me, and I felt terrible zone. Going in there, and like I gave the like she like magnetically unsealed my pouch, oh. And so I had to walk in there and pull my phone out, and all
put your
I,
leash back
I just
on.
Wanted to send one text to both of them saying, I don't know if you're here already. If you are here, here are our seats and come see us. If not, I'll see you after the show or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I went, but you feel, everyone looks at you like, oh, look at these fucking losers. Like they
can't
need
enjoy
their
the show.
They need Facebook that bad. They need it.
Do you walk in there going, I'm a doctor. I have a, my patient is in cardiac arrest.
No.
Like I would. Though.
I should have done that. Yeah. Yeah. Next time.
Give an outward appearance that makes it worth going
It was
in.
Also weird that you didn't have printed tickets for this. You had to have a ticket on your phone, but you also couldn't have your phone.
It's complications.
So that was tricky. So you scan your ticket, and then some guy handwrites C-14.
What?
Whatever. And then like...
That's like the 1800s.
And then gives you a piece of paper.
Back in time.
But here's the thing. He gives you a piece of paper so you can find your seat. But they... did it on your phone to save paper. So, but you're using the paper. Stupid.
What the fuck?
I don't.
And then there's where it's going to happen. A few years going to be like, well, Jack White says we got to save electricity. So this whole venue is going to be candle lit. So then you're walking around trying to read the paper by candle and you find your seat. And
they're
it's
going
like,
unplugged.
Oh, we're sitting on these fucking cushions now because fucking chairs are bad.
Plastic,
Jack,
dude.
Jack White decided. And the fucking candle's gonna drip on you. Ah, you throw your paper up, it hits the candle, the whole thing fucking ignites. Fucking
Great
catastrophe.
White situation.
This is a powder keg waiting to happen, and Jack White is going to blow up hundreds of thousands of people at
He's
this
gonna kill
rate.
Him.
Theme song.
Got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides the Lonely Horseman. Got my gun at my side. I'm just trying to be the Lonely Horseman. 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 Lonely Horseman.
No.
The chat's saying, let him finish
I'm
his
sorry.
Story.
I didn't know if there was more to the ticket story.
No,
or not.
I don't think I
just,
so.
We just wanted to rant
well,
on
Well, I
it.
Didn't meet up with my brother and sister until after the show.
That's a shame. Jack White.
But I found him.
Tearing
eventually.
Families apart.
I found him. Yep.
You know what would be cool is if they printed those tickets on flash paper.
Oh.
And then everybody had like one piece of flash paper that they could save. For like their favorite part of the concert, and they're like, "Yo, that song was baller."
I like that. When the show is on, I really like not no one having a phone. That's great.
Why? What difference does it make?
Because there's so many times that you're at a show, and not this venue necessarily, but like when you're on like in the on the floor.
Yeah,
it's just people like holding like phones up in your way, and you can't like see the
dude. Even
thing.
At bar shows, I've encountered that
people are like filming, and it's like, I just want to watch them. I can't see shit, and it's like it's frustrating. And this is like no one's doing that. Everyone's just
nobody had their hands up. Like, Jack White.
They closer to the stage, but I was kind of further back, so I wasn't that. But
see,
you're not supposed to like obscure vision, wear big goofy hats,
I'll
have
be
an updo.
I get annoyed when I see people on their phone at a concert.
Yeah.
But it's not because they're obscuring my view. I'm just that fucking snob who's like, can't we just live in the real world? Do we need to fucking record and broadcast everything? How about make a fucking memory?
Because you know how to put your phone in your pocket and enjoy life.
But I admit that I'm just being that like pretentious, like, just fucking live here in the moment, you fucking techno dork.
Feels good, though.
But you know,
but it's not like they're ruining the show.
It's a boomer
for
mood.
No, but like there are people who film the entire show, which I don't like that. But like for me... I like to maybe capture 10 seconds of a song. Yeah. Like, hey, I want to remember this moment. Like, I got it. I'm done. Away.
I don't think the artists like that either.
Well, why not?
Because I feel like only negative stuff could come from that. Like, you could have a couple photographers or videographers that are within your control to make clips for you for social media. But some guy's going to record your whole set and then put it up online. And look at, he fucking flubs this line
Here's
here. He can't
thing.
Hit the high notes anymore, you know.
Year almost a decade ago, I went to Coachella Music Festival and Jay-Z played. He was like, you know, I saw Jay-Z live. It was cool.
That's cool.
He had a phenomenal set. That entire show is available on YouTube.
Right.
So years from now, you know, I could show my grandkids, like, I was at this concert.
Sure.
I could even find, there's so many versions of it on YouTube. I can kind of find the perspective. About where you were,
yeah.
And I think that's cool that it's just on YouTube. It's preserved forever. If you ever want to go back and relive that moment. And,
right.
You know, I watched that video. I feel like I'm there again. Right. Like, it has this very emotional like experience for me. It's like, oh my God, I'm going right back to where I was at that age. Like, yeah. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not going to happen with a Jack White concert. You will just, a moment ago I was complaining, like, can't you just make a fucking memory? Right.
But you like it.
But at the same time, it's a cool memento when you can go find the right show. Now, and it's preserved there.
Now they do, which I think is great. They have a professional photographer.
Yeah,
taking pictures, and they put them on the site that night, and they're all free. Like, you can buy a print if you want, or you can just, you know, download it and then put it.
Help them
you
promote.
Want.
I mean, yeah, that's what you're doing, right? Essentially,
but like, it's like actually like really good pictures. You know, better than what you'd ever take.
Yeah, and they're yeah, in control, and you know, it's yeah, good promotion. Whereas like, it's not just up to their fans.
And it's cool that they do that. They like, recognize like, yeah, we took their phones, but the video aspect, like, yeah, there's no video of it.
If you can get to Jack White level, is what I'm thinking. I say go for it.
There's footage of like, I can't remember the festival, but Black Sabbath played at some music festival in California.
Oh,
in the mid 70s, and I just stumbled across this footage randomly one day when I was like just going through YouTube looking at Black Sabbath footage, and it's an incredible show. And I was like stoked. I was like, wow, this is awesome to have a video of the whole performance. And I don't know, there's something to be said.
But you know, especially back then, that was not like that. Is so rare, like to see Black Sabbath in the 70s is like
yeah, it's kind of like a historic document.
Yeah, it really is. So. Like, but now you know, you go to Taylor Swift, there are 25,000 things of the same song, you know, out there.
Jack White's gonna be lost to the sands of time. You know,
it's weird. Like back in the 80s and early 90s, there was a term for it. It was like you were a bootlegger. You would like,
oh yeah,
sneak in, smuggle in a mini disc recorder and like a little audio mic that came out of your sleeve, and like there would be like one guy at a show doing that, making tapes, trying to sell them and stuff. That's gone now because they just can't keep control over it. It's like everyone's got cell phones.
Yeah.
No bootlegging.
No. Well, I mean, it's like open season. There's like 100 bootleggers now at a show.
That's
Putting alternate angles together for a whole Jay-Z documentary they can make.
So we're hip.
Yeah.
I just realized we are hip. Yeah. We do go to concerts.
We get it.
We go to events. I went to a show this week.
Oh.
Wasn't a musical event.
I heard this.
Everything is Terrible live in San Diego.
That's sick.
I didn't know they had a tour.
I don't know how I found out about it, actually. God, I don't remember. I feel like it was in my phone, in my calendar.
Oh, yeah.
At some point months ago, I saw that they were coming to the Casbah, and I just popped it in there, and then months later, it came up, bloop, Everything is Terrible tickets on sale. I was like, fuck yeah.
I love it. I love the Casbah. It's such a tiny little room. Oh, I love the Casbah. It's great.
It was really fun. It was like an intimate show. I was worried when I got there. I thought the show started at 8:30.
Yeah.
And I walked in at 8:20, so I thought I was late. And there were like six people there. And I was like,
oh shit.
Yo, this is gonna be weird / cool. It's gonna be me and these five people. But the show actually started at 9:30. The information must have been printed wrong. So by the end of it, the Casbah filled up, but it was still a small venue.
Yeah.
It was very similar actually to our live show, the Mega 64 live show.
Really?
It was in a bar.
Interesting.
Like, you could drink. It was a comedy show on a small stage. They had costumes. They were playing videos. Now, I don't want to start any drama.
Uh-oh.
And I don't want to start any drama.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
The Mega 64 live show was better.
Oh.
And that's not to say I didn't love Everything is Terrible. They were fucking awesome.
It's in the
but
name, though.
I was just proud because I thought, you know what? I did a live show recently, and I think ours was a little bit more better.
Okay. Hey, you got to be confident.
But I did love, you know, for everybody, for people out there who don't know what Everything is Terrible is, they take found footage from like the 90s mostly, but also the 80s and the early 2000s, and they just re-edit it to be out of context, psychedelic weirdness.
Yeah.
And it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the costumes looked extra tall. It looked like they were rubbing the tops of
all right,
the ceiling.
Now, credit where credit's
due. I felt bad
due
for him.
I'm not egotistical, even though we were better. They had
wow.
They had better costumes than we did.
Okay.
Their live show, their costumes were way better, and they had better videos.
Oh,
than we did. Wow. And they had a puppet similar to Marcus, and their puppeteering was way better than ours.
Wait, come on!
So that's three strikes against us. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they didn't have a better show.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because I don't know what their background is, but we come from the world of theater, and we know how to keep it popping. We know how to keep the pace going along. The show was like almost 2 hours long.
Wow, that's long.
Yeah.
It's a lot for standing.
And I went with JW, Johnny, the cool one, who's working the camera tonight.
Thank you, Johnny.
Johnny Weiss. And he said it best. He's like, yo, it's a $15 show, so I don't know why they were like stretching it out for so long. It's it's not that hard to get your money's worth for like $15 tickets.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
It was a very long show. And, you know, we had a lot of different segments in our show.
Right.
We had characters. Right. We had... I don't want to spoil the show for anybody who hasn't seen our show because it's fucking amazing. But let's just say there's a lot of aspects to it. But their show was really more just a facilitation of showing their video compilations.
Okay.
So, you know, by that last 15 minutes, I was like, all right, I'm getting a little woozy here. It's so like there's so many out of context clips that it becomes kind of hypnotizing.
Oh, sure.
And
oh,
the
really?
Next day I was talking to my friends who were with me there. And I was saying like, you know, I remember laughing super hard last night. But I can't remember what I was laughing at because there was so much stuff being blasted at my brain that it all kind of blurred together.
I think you got hypnotized.
I feel like I seriously got hypnotized.
Do you remember getting home last night?
No, I just remember it was like there was a cat who was really fat and he was like talking, saying like, how did I get so fat? And he had like a beer resting on his belly. There was one clip I do remember of a polar bear that wouldn't stop barfing and I was fucking losing it at that polar bear.
What?
But the show was great. I had an awesome time, and I ended up buying a DVD, their new DVD. Actually, what's so cool, they kind of reminded me of us because I walked in there. Like I said, I got there way earlier than I realized, and there were just a couple cool-looking dudes hanging out at the merch table, and I was like, oh, these guys must be like the roadies, the assistants. And I walked up. I was like, so what do you recommend? And they were like, well, this is the one we did recently, and this. And I was like, oh these are the fucking main dudes right here.
It's like us at a con.
It seriously was. And they were like – they do the same thing we do of like, so which one should I get? Yeah, this is the new one. Just get this. This is our best. This is the one you're going to like. This is what you're going to see a lot of tonight. So I bought their latest DVD, which was The Great Satan.
Nice.
And I went home and watched it. And it's all like movies about Satan or Christian like
religious
Yeah, like religious PSAs.
Oh, this sounds great.
Warning you about Satan. That's or great. Like Phil Donahue clips where they interview Satanists. It's just all satanic stuff.
Oh, that's sick.
And it's really fucking funny.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
I watched it. I kind of, you know, the way I watch stuff now, I can't sit for more than like 30 minutes because I just always have shit to do. So I watch stuff for like 15, 20 minutes at a time and then I pause it and I'll come back later. So I watched it over the course of a few days. And after like the third day of popping this on, I started having like satanic nightmares.
Oh my god. This content is hypnotizing
it
you.
It fucking is.
Dude.
I woke up, dude. I had been watching this DVD for like 3 days straight.
Oh okay.
God. Yeah.
And the other night, I had this weird fucking dream. that I was like in a park and for whatever reason I had to get to a Mega 64 thing.
Okay.
And I didn't have my car, so I was like, I'm just going to run there. And I'm running from the park and I'm running down the street. And there are these two people like on the sidewalk in front of me, like this old woman and then this man in front of the old woman. I was like, well, I'm just going to jog past these guys. And I jog past the old woman and her hair's falling out.
Oh,
and
no.
She's fucking old and wrinkly. Yeesh. And for whatever reason in my dream, she's like holding this like comb thing. And I like take the comb from her.
Snatch it right out of her hand?
And yeah. Well, I just run past her. I take the comb. Now I'm running with this comb. And I start hearing her talking behind me. And she's like, I'm always coming for you.
Oh, my God.
I'm always
God.
Behind God, you. Get- I'm always coming for you.
It
she's follows. She's repeating it. It was like, it follows. And I start getting like, oh, this is bad. Like, this woman wants this comb really bad. And the guy is in front of me. So as I run past the guy, I like hand the comb to him.
Yeah, your problem now.
Here, you take it. But she's like, she keeps saying, like, I run past the guy. She's like, I'm always coming for you. I'm always behind you. I'm always coming for you. And I take the dagger and Satan runs it across your throat. This is
what?
This is what my dream was. I just heard this voice saying that. And it scared the shit out of me. You ever have a nightmare where suddenly like a fucking lightning bolt like jolts through you and you wake up?
And I wake up in my bed and I'm like fucking terrified. And I reach over and I grab my phone and no joke.
No.
3 a.m. on the dot.
No! Oh,
always. And I'm like,
this always happens to me too.
And this pisses me off.
That's Satan, dude.
And I'm like,
dude,
fuck this. And yeah. Like, I get up out of bed and literally like do a door and window check on my entire house.
You got Satan, to.
Satan would use the door or window.
Yeah.
He wouldn't just apparate in your closet.
Hey, the windows were like wide open because it's hot, you know? Yeah. I'm like, fuck this. We're fucking having a sauna tonight.
Yeah.
I have this katana sword that I was like playing with earlier in the day. I was like taking pictures with it and stuff. And it was like in my living room. And I like took it and I like took it back to my bedroom and I like hit it. And I was like, nobody's going to sneak in here and stab me with my
Satan
own katana.
Oh
my fuck God. That. And it scared the shit out of me. And then I realized, like, dude, I've been watching that Great Satan DVD like, too much.
If he's Lord of this world, he would know where your katana was hidden. He would know, you know, how to just pop in under your bed.
It is interesting. Yeah. Like, as an adult,
getting cold sweats,
you don't really get scared of the dark anymore. Like, no. I'm not scared of the dark. Like, I wake up at 2 a.m. and I walk to my house, not an issue. Like, don't care.
Yeah.
But after a bad dream, you revert to that little kid again. It's like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. So I did the same thing. I had a terrible dream. This is a while ago. Terrible dream, and I woke up to do the same windows and door check. Back door, wide open.
No!
Wide fucking
that
open.
That makes you even more scared.
Yeah, and then it was like, now, he's in now the closet. I gotta check everything. Like, underneath the kids' beds, in the closet.
Yeah.
Like, anywhere a human can go, I have to go check.
Where's
right
the killer?
Oh. Don't know why the door was open.
I don't know
Oh, go ahead.
I always do that 3 a.m. wake up and look at the clock, too. And it's always...
Is it
not 3:01, not 2:59.
Right on the fucking dot.
3:00.
Is that
snake
the witching
eyes.
Hour? Is that the...
Yeah.
Is that the 3 a.m.
That's that's the devil's playground, man. That right there, that's when the demons can... that's when the barrier
that's
between our world and theirs is the thinnest, John. Yeah. Uh-huh. And they come through at 3 a.m.
I usually sleep with, like, the TV off because, you know...
Yeah.
Don't care. But yeah, if I wake up like that, scared like that, it's like, oh, King of the Hill's on.
Yeah, put something on.
I can't do it.
Oh, seriously? I locked everything. I went back to bed. I was like, I'm just going to scroll Facebook for a while until I forget this. I'm like looking up memes and shit. Like,
yeah.
It scared me. It was.
Play some games.
It was a stupid nightmare, you know? Damn.
I don't know. That's some chilling shit to be specific.
It was fucking
Satan
satanic.
Drags the knife across your
and
throat.
And he runs it across your throat. Oh. Wide awake, 3 a.m. What the fuck just happened? Why did I dream that?
Yuck.
Oh. So thank you, Everything is Terrible, for the awesome DVD. Highly recommend their website. You know, the Satan one will give you bad nightmares.
They got you
but they're funny
now.
As hell. They're fucking funny. It was a great show. I bought a shirt and an awesome black light poster and a DVD. And it was all, you know, awesome.
You need to buy a
inexpensive
crucifix.
Merch. Yeah, now I need to go to church.
They
everything
should sell
is,
rosaries.
Everything is holy. But I had a great time at the show. And I think they're on tour now. So look them up if they're coming near you. Check them out. It was great. Somebody in the chat said, I want a shirt of Derek with the katana that says, Not today, Satan.
Oh, hey. That,
wow.
Yes.
That could be the next 64-hour special.
I want that shirt as well.
Yeah.
Not today.
A clock that says 3 a.m. and me defending my house. Not today, Satan.
Like in the PT hallway and the alarm clock's just 3 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
I'm on board with this.
Speaking of 64-hour special, we might as well announce the latest 64-hour special.
Yeah.
Everybody out there, we have a very special shirt for you this week. For all of our internet soldiers, you've wanted a way to show your allegiance to us. Well, now you can with the official Mega 64 Club shirt. Check this out. We invented this logo.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's ours.
That I see this ripped off all the time, which is crazy because we've been cooking this thing up for years. And I don't know if somebody leaked the footage of this shirt or what. But that is the 64-hour special that is going to be available for only 64 hours. Now,
what a strong style.
Yeah. I mean, I seriously see this ripped off so much.
Yeah.
And the next fucking person I see ripping this shirt off, I'm going to walk up to him.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Damn, dog.
Oh. Careful.
Oh.
Careful.
Damn. Jeez. You could go to jail for that kind of violence.
Give him a damn fucking super kick to the face.
Damn.
I broke my mic on a
kick. Shit.
Yeah, he kicked so hard the mic just snapped out of alignment.
The shockwaves from my super kick just rippled through this room, destroyed my microphone. That's a warning to anybody else who rips off that shirt. But we were talking about this shirt before it came out, me, Rocco, and Sean, and we were saying, you know, there's gonna be some people out here who say this shirt's lame.
You think so? I didn't say lame.
Divisive?
I did not say lame.
There's gonna be.
I said I've seen this shirt.
They're gonna give us shit. They're gonna be like, too late. This ain't it, Chief. fucking not today. 5 years too late, bro. Whatever they're gonna say. You know what I say to them?
What?
You could sit there and be a naysayer all you want, but this shirt is going to be gone in 3 days, and then you're gonna wish so bad you had picked it up.
Part of the club.
You're gonna be seeing it around at conventions, being like, "Yo, where can I get the biggest 64 club shirt? It was only available for the 64 hour special when you were sitting there talking shit." So instead of being a naysayer, get the shirt.
Yeah,
you fucking jabroni.
Someone in the chat said, "All I want is to make dumb sports shirts." Yeah.
And
what? Yes, obviously. Fuck.
I mean, NASA's not a sport.
It's a lifestyle.
What? Yeah.
You know, I think all of the products reflect, you know, a different aspect of the Mega 64 personalities.
Johnny,
this one goes across the board.
Our cameraman designed this.
That's very cool.
Good job, Johnny. Well done.
Nice. And Meg, you know,
of course,
finished it off.
She finished off. She
Can we rephrase that?
I think that would maybe take that back.
Gave it a nice
graphical design.
Meg took it to completion.
She rasterized it. No, Derek, again. Ooh.
Fuck. Anyway.
It's vectored now. So no! Thank you.
That's what we were looking for the first time. Sorry,
that's
Meg.
It.
Sorry.
Yikes.
Meg, our chief designer.
Somebody said swallowed, so there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Show some respect. Do I need to super kick somebody?
I would never say that.
I fucking will. Go to shop.mega64.com and check out the 64 hour special for this week, the Mega 64 Club shirt. And while you're there, buy a DVD. This DVD will not give you satanic dreams.
Yes. No.
It could even be a Blu-ray.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, we don't have DVDs. We got Blu-rays. We've leveled
stepping it up. That's how you know we're just, you know, a level above.
Yeah. So what else do you guys got going on this week?
Has anybody seen Bam's meltdown on Instagram?
Yeah.
Rocco was showing. Okay, here's Rocco and I at the concert. He was like, dude, Bam's like losing it.
Yeah.
And he was
like, crazy.
Trish told me.
He was posting
like
screenshots of like text conversations with him and his wife about them breaking up. And like he's posting it on Instagram.
And he's talking shit about April too.
Well, yeah. He's mad at his mom and Nikki and Novak. And he wants help from only Dr. Phil. And he's
really?
He's spinning out, but it almost sounds like, is this publicity stunt shit? Like, I don't know.
All I know is that
the comments
Joe
are horrible.
Franz was commenting, Bam, go to bed. Bam, just go to bed. Turn the phone. Like,
this ain't it, like, Chief.
Yeah.
He filmed himself harassing a gate agent.
Yeah. Like, that was cringy.
Where?
At the airport. He was trying to get onto a flight, and he was like, I only had one drink, man. And the guy's like, well, you just told me you had 50. And he's like, how would anybody have 50 drinks? I'd be dead.
You fucking
how would
idiot?
Anybody yeah, have 50 go. Drinks? You'd be fucking snarfing in hell with the fucking devil after 50 fucking booze.
I'd be minging, you fucking idiot. He calls that guy a fucking idiot to his face. And that gate agent keeps his cool.
Yeah, he was professional.
Because he knew it was Bam Margera.
Yeah, knew
anybody else would have been fucking tased and on a plane to the grave.
He's writing in his own, do you see his own language? His Strigoi alphabet?
And people were like saying, hey, I've been an addict before. This is definitely clear-cut signs of addiction.
Back
and this guy can
people
tell.
People keep back saying specifically
meth.
What though? Meth.
What?
Meth.
And he's getting mad. And he like if people are trolling him too in the comments, he's fucking up because he's replying to all.
I don't have my phone. I want to look this up right now.
You know how would I get meth through the airport? So he's working a con in Texas.
They all the Jackass guys did like a legit intervention on Steve-O.
Yeah,
and it worked. Like Steve-O is clean.
Steve-O's chiming in on these.
Oh, is
meltdowns
he? What is
too.
He saying? Like, I'll
get help,
you?
Man.
Yeah, like Novak said, we like all of the Jackass guys have tried to help him. He's on his own now.
Oh man, that is such a bummer. That is a bummer.
It is. I I don't want to keep watching. I almost, because a lot of people are like, I'm unsubscribing.
Yeah.
Well, this is getting too dark.
You're watching like someone spiral down to the bottom and you don't want to see that.
And nothing's like too insane. Like, I don't actually see that he is fucked up, like, from his actions. Because I've been watching his Instagram for about a year or so now pretty closely. Mm. He seems like he's regular old Bam. I mean, he's just fucking mental.
It's mostly just, like, him attacking his wife and his mom.
That's a little
He attacking his wife for?
She makes me crazy, man.
Yeah, and she's going to use Phoenix against me. What it was for.
I wonder if they, like, are going through a rough patch, you know, and that's...
God knows.
Then he's, like, rebounding with the...
Well, the ex-wife and substances. The new wife were all hanging out together at Castle Bam, like, last week, too.
He kept pulling his kid into the conversation,
too. He has a kid?
Yeah. He has a kid.
Oh, he's got a little kid.
Oh, that's got way darker.
No, he has a kid, and he's like, yeah, you take the kid, and, like, he'll be asking, like... when he's 10, when he could hang out with his dad, and like all this really fucked up stuff.
It's his obvious.
His son's name is Pow.
It's obvious to me that like something's amiss, and the guy definitely does need help, because that's the sad part of it. But I don't know that it's more than just alcoholism. From what
he could just be raging drunk. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's definitely like he's. I don't know that he's on like crazy hard drugs. Like everyone's saying he's on meth or whatever, but it seems apparent like he's not sticking to his sobriety when it comes to alcohol.
He should try CBD,
and that would probably chill him out. He could get along with everyone.
Yeah, I got irritated with people. I was grumpy.
You realize how dumb everyone was
when I did CBD.
Maybe he was on CBD.
But that's what Bam's saying. He's like, everyone's so dumb they don't even want to read my fucking alphabet. Oh. Nikki won't take the time. I wrote her three pages.
Well.
She's stubborn.
Well, I hope Dr. Phil, you know, gets this situation taken care of.
That's where it seems gimmicky to me. Yeah. Like, he's asking for doctor. Like, is he trying to get on TV?
Maybe his dad got a doctorate. We don't know. We're assuming it's Dr. Phil from TV.
Bam's Instagram's interesting because you get a real inside look. Phil's in a wheelchair.
What?
Yeah. Everyone was questioning, like... they think the weight hurt. Bam said he hurt his knee
because
of the
guys.
Weight.
Yeah.
They were at like a fair.
Yeah. So he was getting pushed around in that wheelchair, but he's going to be out of it, is what everyone's saying. But
man,
it is interesting when these people discover social media and go like, let me open the faucet all the way up into my life, like full fucking blast, like see everything. And Bam is showing it. I mean, this whole breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a manic behavior.
Do you think he's still got money?
I don't follow him.
He made, dude, I'll tell you how much he made last weekend or yesterday at that Texas Comic Con, because he's posting all this shit. Bills stacked across his hotel bed, and it was like, I think, $14,500.
For what?
Oh,
signing,
God.
Autograph, taking pictures.
Wow.
He charges to take a photo with him, you know?
Yeah.
So. I mean, there's cons. He's working the con circuit. He's got...
I just feel like if you're Bam Margera, like, your lifestyle is not cheap. He... with the, even, like,
Castle Bam.
If it was just booze, which is probably more. But, yeah, Castle Bam, all the shit that he's doing, like, I just feel like...
I think that shit's bought and paid for.
When you make so much... Maybe. We make so much money, though.
Yeah.
You're used to spending a lot of money, and then, like, you can't, like, just stop all of a sudden.
It seems like there's a lot of hangers-on. There's a lot of entourage. Of like, I don't know, nobody. Like people that don't seem like they're his good friends.
Yeah.
So that sucks up a lot.
And they've been around, you know, forever and is taking it. Like, I feel like if tomorrow I have $100 million, when I die, I'll have like $99 million. Because I'm just not gonna spend it because like I don't know. I'm you know, whatever. So but if you're young and spend money on fucking everything.
I think about this all the time.
If it would corrupt you.
Well, not if it would corrupt me, but I hear that when you get rich, all of your friends want your money. You know, it's like, well, you can fucking afford it. Like, come on. I know you're good for it. What the fuck? If I won like the lottery, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but you know, mega lottery,
about
like $400 million dollars.
Oh yeah. The big one.
You guys are all taken care of for life.
Hell dude. Yeah. Derek, thank you.
Real talk.
Tight.
Because I would, first of all, I would just give you each $1 million flat out.
I have this thought too. Yeah. who makes the cut?
I've thought about this, and for a while when I was younger, I'd be like, I would give them all like $65,000. Okay, you know?
Exactly.
Mickey making 64 just to be cute.
Yeah, but then I thought about it, and I was like, fuck it, give them all, make all my friends a millionaire. Like, if I have $400 million, yeah, like, I don't need that shit. I have money to spare. I feel like I would take care of my family. I would take care of my close friends, and then I would use that money to like make a movie or invest it or something. You know, I've thought about this so much. They should just give me the lottery.
That's smart.
You would be good.
Instead of giving it to some fucko who doesn't have any clue and they lose it in 2 years.
You snort it all up.
Yeah. But I always hear like, yeah, money ruins friendships. You really find out who your real friends are.
Right.
I bet you find out who your real friends are. My best friend won $400 million, won't give me fucking $5. Who's my real friend?
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're in charge of making the list, who's your real friend or not. I think you got to put the tag on it like, hey, this is a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Here's your million. You can never ask for another red cent.
No, and I don't even think that.
Then I think you're going to have third cousins coming out of the woodwork going, hey, let me get 20 grand. I got these bills. I'll be like, all right, cool. Here you go.
Well,
and then a month later,
I have a lot of cousins that I know of that I've never met. So it's like, fuck off. Yeah. Like, you don't know me.
They just
aren't
on the list.
But I would probably even start like a fund that every year would award money to people who just wanted to come ask me for money.
Whoa.
And so if people are like, oh, Derek's got money, I'll ask him. No, don't ask me. Just write an email to this group here.
Right, and they handle it.
I funnel all my free money that I give away to dumb fuck nobodies through this fund and take your shot.
Yeah,
and
you
essay? If you don't get it this year, resubmit because I'm here to help everybody out.
Yeah, what's your reason? You write a 10-page essay, let us know a reason, and then you have like a staff of 10 you hire.
Yeah. Yeah. They handle all
they take
of it.
Care of
I don't
it.
Want to deal with that, you know.
The sob
like,
story.
That's, yeah, that's I have a whole
a bummer.
I hire a
you
team.
You got money to count.
I hire a team literally just to give my money away to people so I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And nobody has to get mad at me personally.
That's smart.
Charities to all my friends that got charities.
Money, that's my team. That was my team. Sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know who hired them.
But you guys, you're in. So.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good,
like maybe that. Even if I got $400 million, I'd give you $1 million a year for 5 years straight.
Wow. Whoa. That is
now,
so generous.
What if that started killing one of us a la Margera? Like we just can't, you know, deal with that amount of money. We get into drugs and get addicted. And then, you know, our lives are spiraling out of control.
That would be
and
sad.
You start to see
but
that.
Like, I'm not.
Like, come on. Fuck, man.
I'm not
just
like.
Another, just like 500 grand more. Come on, dude.
Here
Please?
You go. Yeah, dude, it's your life.
Oh, thanks, Derek.
Man. Whatever, dude. If you if that's what you want to do with
thanks,
the free
man.
With
Thank
the free
you.
Million dollars.
Oh, thanks, bro.
That's on you.
Yeah.
Oh, there's fentanyl in
this. I kind of low key believe like I shouldn't say it. Now I'm going to get all political here. Mm. Now this is how Derek gets in trouble. If that's what you want to do, fucking who am I to stop you, you know?
You'd let me commit a self-death if that's my prerogative.
If that's I'm not your father. I'm not God. I'm not your employer. I can't tell you what
your
to
pastor.
Do. Yeah, look, here's $3 million. Fucking go,
do what you
go
want.
Nuts, dude.
Do what you want.
Hookers are legal in Vegas. See you later.
Like
go
I like
nuts.
It.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
I think
that's
if
a good
I had
way to look at it.
$1 million, I would go to the dentist. That's what I would do.
I wouldn't look at price tags on shit anymore.
What
a relief that
can
would
you
be.
Imagine what that
the
would be.
The stress of life being lifted where you just don't have to look at what anything costs. Just like, yeah, I'll get
I want
my
this,
prescriptions.
So I'm going to get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll go eat at this restaurant. Don't even look at the menu. Oh, market price? I don't care what that is. So let's get it.
Applebee's? On me. We don't even have to look at the menu.
That's really the stressor when you got enough money to where you don't care what the price is.
I see.
What's that number?
I feel like that's how people end up losing their millions of dollars.
Oh, you think they just get.
I feel like
I don't need boats and fucking.
I feel like I would become more frugal if I had that much money.
Well, yeah.
Properties.
But I also feel like, I mean, I'm not talking like the sports cars, and I'm talking like. I want to go to a restaurant and then, like, you know what? I'm going to get the shrimp today. I can afford the shrimp
That's
today.
That's what I'm saying. Market
not
price.
Chicken today. Yeah, exactly. Or it's like, oh, I'm at the movie theater. You know what? I'm going to get a drink
and popcorn. Yeah. I think I need to take you out for your birthday.
Yeah. Just, that's only once a year.
I'll make all your dreams come true. Dude, I don't even need the lottery.
It'd be like your birthday's
shrimp
every
dinner
day.
And a drink and popcorn on me.
That's all I need. I took the kids. Do you guys ever go to that cafe where you go to and you paint a little thing?
Mm-hmm. I've seen the kids there.
For people who don't know, it's a store in San Diego where you can paint ceramic figures or coffee
mugs.
Yeah, mugs, plates.
You decorate them yourself, and then they fire them in the oven, and you get it. You know, you get a little ceramic.
It's a little
craft piece of art that you made yourself.
And it's kind of cool. And I used to do it when I was younger. And so I took the kids, like, oh, they'll like this. And they each bought nothing crazy. Like the little, like Emma Beckett felt bad. They bought like the littlest thing just to be like, oh, I don't, you know, whatever. I paid $84. $84. And I was like, this
for just the two of them?
No, but Sarah Lennon too. So it's four of them. But it was like, this like changes like my plans for the week. Like, what the fuck? Like $84 on ceramics.
What did they get?
Sawyer got like a little unicorn to paint. Lennon got a little dragon.
How little are we talking? Like
Sawyer's is probably.
Can we get a close up on that?
It was about that. Emma and Beckett was like, and that was like that was $16.
Oh my god!
And that was like that was the cheapest thing.
Did
like,
the kids?
Oh, man.
Did they even do a good paint job on them?
I mean, for that amount of money, a terrific job.
16,
okay, good.
16. So that was like 32, and the other ones were like 25.
Yeah, about that.
Can we get a figure update?
Oh yeah,
I think
I'll give you a figure update.
I think you know $80. Those are some like rare one of a kind figs.
But I've learned. After this, it's like, you know what? I should investigate a little more before I promise something. Because I walked in and I thought like, oh, fuck. We're already here. Gotta do it.
When I was a kid, the generation before the baby boomer generation, like my
grandparents, greatest generation.
The greatest generation. When I was a kid, I used to remember seeing people from that generation who are all mostly dead now. Throwing the biggest fucking fits in stores for stuff that was overpriced.
Uh-huh. Oh, because it was the depression people.
Yeah, depression era. And they'd be like, I didn't fucking go to World War II and fight fucking Nazis to come and have a telephone bill be $34 fucking dollars in 1 month. I wanted, what the fuck? And they would just go nuts. And as a kid, I'd be like, that's never going to be me because that's embarrassing. But now that generation has died, these fucking ceramic corporate overlords, they're getting too comfy.
Ceramic boomers.
No one puts them in check anymore.
Nobody. And I'm starting to think we need to bring back making a scene in the store.
Millennials.
You should
just millennials on it.
They charge you $84 and you're like, what the fuck am I paying $84 for a fucking 2-inch little fucking unicorn?
Yeah.
Shove this little horsey ass bitch up your ass for $84.
Well, I did look at it and think like, it's an experience. Okay, but like what it cost them was probably 50 cents. Like the paint they used and then the ceramic, that was nothing.
The kiln is like a couple kilowatt hours.
When I was there though, I felt bad. This lady was looking at something and knocked over like a whole shelf worth of
stuff. Oh, fuck.
Did it all break?
Yeah.
Don't feel bad. It was like $4 worth of ceramics.
Yeah. Well, she had the policy is if you break it on the shelf, you'd pay half. What the thing is, so I don't know what she paid, but it was a lot.
Yikes.
They're making money left and right, these fucking crooks. Highway robbery.
Yeah. Call the police.
I'm going to go in there like a bull in a pottery shop.
I ain't paying for this. I know I broke it. I ain't paying for it.
Yeah.
Lock me up.
Run away. Yeah, run.
Yeah. I mean, it's whatever.
Have you seen mall security, dude? They can't chase you.
Yeah, they got a fucking Segway.
What are you going to do, dude? You're out the parking lot. That's not their jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just stand on the sidewalk in front of the mall. Yeah. Holding your ceramics.
I'm across the street. It's like a force field. They can't pass.
Yeah. A half price for the broken shelf. Wow.
Yeah.
So she probably paid more than you did. Sorry.
Yeah. She probably did.
Yeah.
Probably did. Yeah.
Nobody isolate that.
Yeah. When two men touch hands, it is a little oopsie. Sorry. I apologize for touching your hand.
I saw a picture on the internet. I saw a meme this week, and it was how to eat a popsicle in a room full of men. And it was two guys cutting a popsicle with a knife, like putting chunks in their mouth. And I was like, that's true.
That's pretty funny.
I've been there.
That's a relatable meme.
That's relatable.
Have anyone here played any games?
It's been a gaming weekend.
You've been playing
my
Mario Maker level.
Oh, my God.
I made the levels rejects based on Kevin's suggestion, the sequel to House of a Thousand Nightmares. I tweeted out the image with the code on it.
Yeah, I have been playing that with Beckett, and it is like an hour of me being like, I don't know, Beckett, I have no idea what the fuck we do. And then the next day, I'll talk to her like, Derek, how do I get through that room? What the fuck do I do? And it's like, you know what, just do this. I'm like, okay, thanks. And then so the next day, I'll get through that room, and then like,
now I'm in the fucking hour in the next room. Like, how the fuck do you get past?
Derek, what do to get past the second? Like,
really? You guys been playing it together?
We've been playing it together. And, like, I think I'll probably play it more. And then I'll let he wants to try. Sort of wanted to try, which was very funny.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's like, yeah, we've been playing it together. Like, one day we're going to beat this fucking level, Beckett. I promise you. But
this one is, I'm going to say, significantly easier than the original.
Oh, no, I know it is. I know it is.
Okay.
But I watched the playthrough that Donkey did.
Mm. Of the original?
Of the original one. Yeah. And thought, like, this is beyond my comprehension. I can't even, like, think about how to beat this level. But this one I saw, I was like, I think I can see a way. I think I see a way. So I'm trying it, but geez.
This one's way easier, but I did put, like, a big troll in it. I don't know if you've gotten that part. The first comment on the level was soft lock, which means you get put into a room. You don't die, but there's no way to progress.
You fall down too much.
There's not a soft lock on this level, but it does appear that there is because I hid the way to keep going just to piss people off. Keep searching.
Gotta find it.
Yeah.
Have fun with the level with the level's rejects.
Yeah.
I went back and played House of 1000 Nightmares, and something about my muscle memory kicked in. I was able to beat it first try.
Whoa.
No shit.
What the fuck? First try?
Yeah, I just flew through. I was like, I just want to see if I make the saw jump. And I made the saw jump, and I was like, yo, I fucking made it.
And you,
like,
got it from there.
Let's just keep going. And I beat it. And I was like, holy shit. Like, wow. I put it down for like 3 weeks, and now I could just clear it, no problem.
Oh, there's something about that when I get stuck in a video game,
yeah,
and I've repeated and repeated for like an hour, I get diminishing returns.
Yeah.
And then if I walk away, make some food, come back, first try. And that always, I can't bring myself to do that sometimes, because I'll push it to like an hour and a half of trying to beat something, and then... Oh, yeah, just walk away for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, I would just play a game all night, try to beat it, a level, couldn't do it, get pissed off, go to sleep, wake up the next day, beat it first try.
Yeah. It's
weird how that happens.
I think your brain is, like, without you realizing it, is working out
subconsciously
what it's got to do. And then when you're ready, it's like, okay.
I played a level the other day that somebody made. I went into, like, newly uploaded levels, and it was a troll level, which I'm starting to realize people make these things called troll levels where they just fuck with you.
Oh,
like, they put an arrow, like, you're supposed to go this way, and it kills you. They hide the exits. They fucking put the invisible blocks over, like, a gap, so you try to jump the gap, and you just fall straight down. Like, anything they can do to piss you off. And I was playing this level that the person titled Trolls the Series. Fucking clever. And it made me so angry. I no longer want to make hard or difficult levels.
It's a 10-year-old kid.
It probably was a 10-year-old kid. I left a really passive-aggressive comment.
After I spent
an hour trying to beat this dude's level.
What'd you say?
I commented, I had to think about, because Nintendo will flag.
Yeah, they'll get you.
Oh, yes. And they'll take them down. So I had to write something that would, like, sting him.
but wouldn't break
the TOS of Nintendo.
Right.
So I think I wrote something like, this level feels like it was designed by somebody who has no friends. And I think I'm the only comment on there.
God. You bully.
But you know what? I just was so pissed. Yeah. I wanted to say mean ass shit because I was so mad after playing that level. But I just had to tone it down.
We've come so far since the Xbox Live days. Yeah.
There are some that are so clever. Some levels that are so clever. I did this one that was called Mario Kart. I'm like, what the fuck? Mario Kart? And then the way they designed it was, it starts and it's like race one. I'm like, well, okay. So you have to hit like a Koopa.
Yeah.
And then it goes on its own path and you have to beat the Koopa shell.
Oh.
If you don't, like, it hits the fucking, I don't know, like the off switch, and then, like, you die. So, like, you're racing to beat this fucking shell, and it's so fun. And then, like, I beat it. I'm like, oh, I did it. And then, like, keep going, oh, race two. Okay. And there's, like, a new level of it.
Yeah.
Like,
that's cool.
It's so fun.
I made a
smart
level like that. It's called Shell Racer.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I'll play that next.
Yeah, you had, like, a couple genres of your levels, right? Like, speedrun levels I saw or something.
I made a couple levels that are speedruns that you just run through as fast as possible, and then some really hard levels. You know, I tried to make levels as hard as possible, and then levels that were just, I wanted to be fun, you know? You just have a good time.
I like that you have different genres.
But after I played Trolls the Series, I just want to make stuff that's, like, fun for people to play.
Yeah.
No more tricks, no more, you know, oh, this is impossible, try to beat it. I've also noticed that less and less people are playing my levels, so
because they got
you've got a reputation.
Yeah,
yeah. And exactly. This guy's hard.
Well, you're plugging him right now.
Just yeah,
pin that tweet.
Yeah. What's another Rob Zombie movie after Halloween. The Devil's Rejects? Well, I can't. You know,
yeah.
After, what do you make after Devil's Rejects? Did he make Halloween?
I think he made Halloween after that.
Really? He never made Tyrannosaurus Rex. That never came out.
No.
Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah. We went to Comic-Con one year, and it was like the new movie by Rob Zombie, Tyrannosaurus Rex. It was like a dude in a wife beater with like a mullet and two sawed-off shotguns going like, ah! And it was on the side of like a big rig truck parked in front of the convention center. And I was like, that looks cool. And then it never came out.
Whoa.
And now it's like, you know, probably in development and then just like went away, which happens to movies. But they like promoted it at Comic-Con. I was always really looking forward to it.
Yeah, he did. He made a wife movie. That's one where he just casts his wife as the main character.
Yeah, Sherry
that's kind of all he's been doing, which is good. I like Sherry Moon, but it was like some witch movie. And then, yeah.
And then Halloween. And Halloween 2.
Yeah.
And what was his – did he make a movie after Halloween recently?
I want another original story from him.
I hated House of a Thousand Corpses so much that I will never watch another one of his movies. That was it.
It's so weird, and it's so not by the rule. It's so edited, just not even according to the rules of a movie, that I love it.
You know what?
There's plot holes and all kinds of weird shit, but I love that movie.
He wants to make, obviously, like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. They should just give that property to him.
Yeah.
Because if you watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
That's so good.
I really like Chop that movie. Top.
Yeah.
But it's clear, like, oh, this is everything any Rob Zombie movie ever wanted to be.
Right. Well, he cast Bill Moseley in his movie and basically just acts like another psychopathic killer. Like.
I feel like House of a Thousand Corpses is just a ripoff of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, too.
Pretty close. Yeah, it's actually pretty fucking good
Especially
observation.
When they go down into, like, the subterranean part. I was like, I'm getting flashbacks of a Rob Zombie movie here.
Yeah, don't wake up at 3 a.m. watching that.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. The ending will get you.
Yeah. It's interesting that Rob Zombie has completely changed careers, though. Like, he was a musician.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I didn't think of him as a director. Now I don't think of him as a musician anymore. It's just, he's just a
Does he still play music at all?
You'd get out of it if you had to tour with Marilyn Manson, too.
Oh.
He still does, every once in a while, like, put out an album of Rob Zombie-sounding music.
Gotcha.
I thought he and Marilyn Manson together just released Helter Skelter, like a single.
Yeah, I think they've worked out their differences. I've just heard horror stories of him having a tour with him.
Yeah.
Really? Like Marilyn Manson's a diva?
Oh, yeah. He's like, God, yeah. He's known.
He's like Bam. He's all fucked up.
He's known to be
problematic
on tour.
Yeah.
He had some interview. He just talked about spitting in some other band's catering. And it's like, you fucking dickhead.
It's so funny because I just saw like an interview with Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And he talked about like, I don't know if he went on tour with Marilyn Manson. I think he did, but he had nothing but positive stuff to say about him.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He was like, Marilyn Manson puts makeup on, has a girl's name. Wonder where he got that idea. Like, but it's fine. You know, we went on tour together for a couple shows, and we had like really deep philosophical talks. I guess Alice Cooper is like a born-again Christian.
Oh, he loves golf,
He loves golf. I know that, yeah.
He's old.
Feed my Frankenstein, Alice.
Yeah.
Maybe Manson treated him with respect.
I think
He's an OG.
Yeah, I think he did. And he was like, what a wonderful young man. Different philosophy than me, but you know, we get along great.
There was a Manson DVD I had that had some backstage shit on like the special features. And I remember there was a scene of him smashing glass above the catering and like glass shattered in all the food.
What's up with him
and then he was yelling at the other band members, don't eat it, it's fucking got glass in it. And he was just a maniac backstage.
He seems so like intellectual in his interviews.
He does.
The thing is, like, very smart.
Yeah, Marilyn Manson's a smart guy and he always has like, you know, well thought out opinions on stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to imagine that he's just like being a fucker backstage.
I think there's a ton of smart people that if they just don't care about you, they'll treat you like shit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I finished the documentary, Some Kind of Monster.
Oh, the
Metallica documentary?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Highly recommended. Now, I will say, when I was a kid, like 15 years old, around the year 2000, Metallica was probably my most hated band. I just thought they sucked.
Man, I was on the opposite page of that.
I just
favorite band.
Really? Because it was like probably poopiest era Metallica ever, the year 2000.
Agreed.
Yeah, and that agreed. Era was not the best.
Yeah, and so to me, Metallica is like, do you remember? First of all, it was like, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Yeah.
And I was like, this fucking sucks. And then they followed it up with like some music video where it's like an old lady and they're like all on a swing. That and she's like,
That is the memory remains music video.
Right. And the memory remains.
Some people say they hate when James Hetfield learned how to sing. And they like the old shit when he would just fucking thrash. Yeah.
So that was when I got exposed to Metallica. Okay. And I was like, this band fucking sucks. Recently, within like the last 5 years, I went back to their early stuff. And I was like, okay, now I understand Metallica. Now, like, the first couple albums are really good. Like, I like thrash metal. I like Metallica. So this documentary is from poopy era Metallica. It's them creating Saint Anger.
Now, that's the poopiest of all That's the worst.
Yeah, and it's like the whole... But it's really interesting because the documentary has no airs about it. You know, it doesn't try to pretend that Metallica is cool. It's like they know that they suck and they're trying to deal with it.
That's right. You were talking about this. I remember this
It
now.
Opens really? With like... In the year 2000, Metallica was facing the biggest backlash of all time.
Because of Napster, right?
Taking on Napster, and their bass player has quit. And the whole thing is them, like, they get a therapist, they fucking hate each other, and, like, you know, they're like, the fucking cameras are here! You know, they're just upset the whole time, and they're trying to deal with it. And it's just really fascinating watching these guys. They have so much money and so much success invested in Metallica continuing that nobody wants to walk away, but at the same time they don't want to do it anymore,
right?
And it's just like, it's just really fascinating watching a group of that size wrestle with that. Like, we hate each other, we've been doing this for 20 years, we're fucking sick of each other, but if we all walk away, then what are we gonna do, be broke,
do solo careers?
Yeah, and they just have to deal with it. And it's so funny, like, their bass player quits and starts this band called like
Moonlight Dog
it's,
or something.
No, it's called like Echo Chamber or something. Echo Brain. And at one point, Lars, like, Echo Brain plays a show, and I think Lars is like really bummed out. He's like, I guess Echo Brain is the future and Metallica's done. Yeah, and it's like, oh no, like, oh, Lars. Time has proven you wrong.
Go back to tennis, Lars.
But it's really interesting because the end of the documentary, they replace their bass player.
Yeah, with the guy they have now, right?
The guy they have now, Robert Trujillo.
Trujillo, who's awesome.
But they audition Twiggy from Marilyn Manson.
Oh, they did?
They audition all of these famous bass players, like the guy from Jane's Addiction.
Very interesting.
And Robert Trujillo, Ozzy Osbourne, Suicidal Tendencies. Yeah. You know, and all these like big bands. And it's interesting to watch like Twiggy like trying to play Metallica songs, you know, and they're just like, the only guy who can keep up with us is this Robert dude. Like, everybody else.
Fucking Suicidal was so fast,
yeah,
man.
He's like, everybody else, it feels like we're just 10% above their capability, but this guy, like, has it. And they sit him down. They're like, we want you to be in the band. Like, you're not just, like, a session player. Like, you're part of the family. And to show you how serious we are, we want to give you $1 million right now. Like, signing bonus. You're going to continue to make money off these albums, but you're walking away from this table right now with $1 million. And he's just like,
that's fucking sick. Like, I'm just, can you imagine your heroes stoked. Just let you join their crew
that
and gave you $1 million?
And then it's funny because MTV like calls them up and they're like, we want to do like an icon special with you guys, a whole thing just about you guys. And they're like, what about our old bass player? And they're like, as far as we're concerned, he stopped being an icon the moment he quit Metallica. So at that point, they don't have a new bass player. They're like, get a new bass. Like, the show's May 3rd, so you need to hire a new bass player by May 2nd at the latest.
Oh, damn.
And, like, show up. And so they get Robert Trujillo, and then they go to the event, and he's like, Metallica icons, James Hetfield, Kirk Hammond, Lars Ulrich, Robert Trujillo. And somebody interviews them. Interviews him, they're like, so you've been a Metallica for 5 minutes and you're already an icon. How does that feel? He's like, I'm just happy. He just got a fucking $1 million.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, I'm happy to be in the band, man. We're having a good time. Like, they just fully integrated
amazing.
Him. Did I say Hammond? Is it Hammett?
It might be Hammett.
Yeah. Whatever.
You know what? Yeah, I'll forgive you.
I'm friends with Keith Hammond.
There you go.
You know, a local wrestler here in San Diego, and he's just as good, just
Ryan
as talented.
Odyssey.
Yeah, look up Orion Odyssey.
I crack up at that fucking chant every time.
Yeah.
That gets that in we've talked about it before, but the San Diego wrestling promotion, I can't think of it. Super Awesome Showdown.
Yeah.
We've been in and out of, you know, Derek does commentary for him. Eric used to do it. But I've been to so many shows and nothing cracks me up more than Orion Odyssey when he does his chant out there, and he's so face to
I think
the
he
kids.
Wants to be like the Captain America
of
the group.
And all the kids love him, and he does that, and he almost cracks his voice when he does it each time too, and it's so like people just love to hate him. It's a good show.
Anyway. Hey, check out whatever you think about Metallica, check out Some Kind of Monster.
Yeah, I'm definitely checking
it out. It's just it's really interesting. At one point, I mean, I'm just going to spoil the whole thing. Lars, like, just decides to sell all his paintings. He has a painting, like, an art collection.
Yeah. That's what the cover of Load and Reload is like, some guy that he was super into who would take semen and blood and then, like, mash it on glass. And that's what the album covers are, is, like,
Load. Huh.
So one part Load of the documentary, is him, like, at his auction selling his art. And they don't tell you the grand total, but it's like, this thing's going for $6 million.
Oh.
This thing's going for $500,000. And he's just sitting there getting drunk, like, and I'm just thinking, like, these guys are so fucking rich.
Yeah.
Like, he just sold all his art and probably made like fucking $15 million like in an hour or something.
Yeah.
It's a crazy documentary. It's like real insight into just like a very wealthy band just struggling to keep it together.
That is interesting. Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Fuck yeah.
Oh, I'll check that out.
Perfect. Check it out.
Perfect.
Let's plug our store. We already talked about the 64-hour special.
That's
Everybody go to shop.mega64.com. Check out the 64-hour special. The Mega 64 Club shirt is available now.
Now.
And you know what? We got other shirts. We got posters. We got all kinds of crazy shit out on our store.
I think it's also the last chance to get the Anime Trash swag collab.
Today's the last day.
Today is the last.
To get those shirts.
Sorry,
so
Tuesday.
Pre-order those now while you can. Also, it is the beginning of the month, and that means Twitch has unsubbed you. So you can sub back up with us. Get those sweet ass emotes of Derek yelling or me crying.
Yeah.
And do it today.
If you got Twitch Prime,
Amazon Prime.
It costs you nothing.
If you got Amazon Prime, it's free.
It costs you nothing.
You just gotta click to sub.
It costs you a couple minutes.
Throw us a bone.
What else? Go to patreon.com/mega64, sign up for just $1, get early access to our episodes of Heart Slayers. You also get to see Friend Dimension. We got new Friend Dimensions coming out. We have refined the process for recording Friend Dimensions so that we can record them faster.
Oh, yeah.
Better,
oh,
yeah. Stronger, harder. Yeah, Daft Punk ripped us off. Everybody's ripping us off. Super kick Daft Punk.
Oh, good thing they have those helmets on. They're lucky.
We played a ton of games the other day. They're protected. I might have to give them a couple kicks just to get through to
get
them.
Get that armor.
We played a couple games the other day. And we're still releasing these episodes of Friend Dimension. I had a great time.
Me too.
I don't know what's currently up. I think we put out last week Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Mm-hmm. And
that made me buy that game.
Really? Yeah,
yeah,
we had
that's
a good
what
time.
I've been playing.
Yeah, that's really fun.
We played the rap game. We did the Jackbox freestyle rap game.
Yeah.
We played a couple others. Go to our Patreon. Check out what we got. New episodes of Friend Dimension are going to be dropping. Like it's hot. Snoop Dogg ripped us off.
damn.
Yeah. Also, big thank you to our sponsors, TheYeti.com. Go to Yeti Records to get the new Vaporwave album, OST1.RAR, with the album cover art designed by the one and only internet soldier, Jason Cryer.
Jason. Look at that.
Oh, this is not a sponsorship. But speaking of internet soldiers, our good friend Kelly Fitzpatrick.
That's right.
I picked up a comic book that she worked on this week. I've been into comic books this year. I've been really getting into comic books. I've been reading Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh,
wow.
Which is a great series. It was like highly reviewed on all the comic book websites. I was like, all right, I'll check it out.
Is it The Chilling Adventures? It's like a little darker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Show ain't that bad either.
It goes in line with the TV show on Netflix, which I haven't watched. But the comic is pretty interesting. And I finished the latest issue, which came out last week. And I was going through the back, and it was like other Archie comics available. And there was Archie versus Predator, which I was like, that sounds fucking cool. So I did a little research, like, what is Archie versus Predator? And I saw the fucking artwork is done by the coloring is done by Kelly Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know who that is. She did fucking the
Olympus, Mount Olympus art years ago.
That's right.
We go way back with Kelly. That's I was like, Internet Soldier working on Archie versus Predator. That's fucking cool. Kelly, I don't know if you're watching, but I'm so proud of you, man. Everybody out there, support your fellow Internet Soldiers.
Yeah, go check out. We gotta support each other.
Go check out Archie versus Predator.
She did some stuff for IDW, I know. Back to the Future.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, there's some good stuff out there.
She's killing it, man.
That's awesome. Good for her.
She's big in the comic book world, I just found out.
Yeah.
And so that's not a sponsorship. But back to our sponsors, we are sponsored by Ting.com. Ting. Check out Ting.com, everybody. This is, you know, Ting.com is if you're, get this, if you're ever pissed off with your cell phone provider.
All the time.
This is an alternate.
Yeah.
No Verizons, no Sprints, even though I think they may use the same network.
But that's even better because you
That's even better because you get the same benefits, but you don't have to pay for
it. You could hop on all the networks. So you have a total spider web of coverage.
Yeah, Ting, like, I guess they rent out the I don't know what you would call it, but they basically buy in to use that service, and then they offer their own service. The whole thing with Ting is you just pay for the service that you use. So, you know, you pay for data every month. Sometimes you don't use all of your data, but you still pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you use more data than you paid for, and then you got to pay even extra. So I feel like you're getting fucked either way.
Because there's fine.
Whether you're using less or you're using more, you're getting fucked. Who uses exactly the amount of data that they pay for every month? I don't. I always try to calculate it, and I fuck it up.
But if I don't even pay attention. Who looks at that?
But with Ting, you pay for exactly what you use.
Yeah.
They only charge you for what you use. And if you go to mega64.ting.com, you get, I believe, $25 in Ting credit.
Which they were saying is kind of – it's close to the average monthly bill. So it's like a free month.
The average monthly bill is $23.
Yeah.
With our link, so mega64.ting.com.
You just have to get the SIM card, but you can – get it through them. I think it costs a dollar.
Yeah.
I think it's a buck.
They send you the SIM card. You pop it in, and then you pay for what you use.
Yeah. If you need a phone, like a device, I think you can buy them through their store as well, too.
Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
If you're always at home or at work on the Wi-Fi network,
getting
most of your data through fucking router, you're probably not using all your cell phone data. You're probably paying for way more than you need. That's where we come in. So I was like, hey, you know what? We got a lot of fans out there that might apply to, so check out Ting.
Yeah.
What else?
Thank you for watching.
Oh, is it over?
I thought so.
It can't be over.
Yeah. I guess we'll wrap it up. We're going to do an after show. We're going to take some calls. You can talk to us directly. Tell us what's going on in your
life. I want to say, before we get off, thank you to Meg for stepping up and getting here. And thank you to Johnny for replacing Kevin for the week. you know, it's nice to have you guys here, you know, when
Johnny's not a Weird Al fan. Meg's not a Weird Al fan.
Guys need to see Weird Al, you know, you guys, like, we'll be here for you.
You know, so Weird Derek's right here.
They're Weird Derek fans.
They could have been a fan of mine, but they chose not to be.
Yeah. But anyways.
Meg.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
What?
You said my name.
Yeah.
Okay. Good night.